Well, we are in the second week of a series we have entitled First Things First. Now, if you missed last week, I would encourage you to go back and listen to last week's message, not because you have to hear it for today to make sense, but it does provide just a little bit of groundwork, a little bit of the heart behind this series that I would long for you to hear behind what we're going to be talking about today. But in a nutshell, here's basically what we said. We said that life is better when we put first things first. Now, maybe you've experienced this in your own life. We know in life when we are disciplined, when we are focused, that good things tend to happen. Now, we also know that when we're not, when I'm not, well, this is kind of what tends to happen. When we go with the flow, we tend to flow somewhere we did not intend to be. Anybody ever flowed to a place where you did not intend to be? Wow, we've got like two honest people here today. Now, hey, here's what we know. We kind of all ended up in a place like this where it wasn't our plan. We didn't intend to be there, but man, we flowed right there and there we were. And here's the other thing that we all know. Because I've been there, you've been there, we've experienced this. We know that this is not a fun place to be. We know that this is not a fulfilling place in life to be. And we know that in some cases, this can get us into some real trouble. So here's what we want to do. We here at the first of this year, we as a church, we're gathering together. We're gathering together in person. We're gathering together online. And we're gathering together in small groups. Our students are meeting right now in small groups to discuss the things that we're talking about today. Why are we doing that? Because we want to encourage each other here at the first of the year. We want to help each other. We want to challenge each other to do this, to invest most in what matters most. This is what it means to put first things first. We want to invest most in what matters most. Not what matters most to someone else, but what matters most to us. Now, whether you consider yourself a spiritual person, or maybe you're here and you don't consider yourself a spiritual person, this is good advice. I mean, this is going to help you in life. Invest most in what matters most to you. But here's the significance. If you are a Jesus follower, or if you're here and you're really starting to explore the claims of Jesus, you're just really starting to kind of see if does Jesus really have some of that hope for me in my life that I hear everyone else talking about. Maybe that's you. Well, here's the significance of putting first things first, because for us as Jesus followers, putting first things first means putting God first, not just in some areas of our lives, but all the areas of our lives. Putting first things first means putting God first in all the areas of our lives. And here's the best part. It's not because of what God wants from us. It's what God wants for us. And one of the things that I want to talk to you about today, one of the things that God wants for us is what we are calling the spiritual adventure of radical generosity. We'll talk a little bit more later why it's a spiritual adventure. But radical generosity, we believe in this so much here at Oak Hills Church that we made it one of our six core values, radical generosity. Now, what do we mean when we say that? We mean that we believe that everything that we are and all that we have belongs to God. Radical generosity. And here's the other thing that we're saying. We're saying that when we are radically generous, we're not doing anything that our Father did not do first. See, all we can do is we can reflect. It's not of ourselves, but we can reflect the radical generosity that God has already shown to us. Why? Because God gave first. He went first. Now, here's what I think I know about you. Let's put this to the test. Here's what I think I know about you. I think you want to be generous. I don't think I need to convince anyone or persuade anyone to be generous. This is something that many of us want to do. Here in 2021, we're looking at this and we want to be generous people. In fact, a study shows some of the attitudes, not just Christians, but Americans in general, our attitudes towards charitable giving. 2/3 of Americans made a charitable donation within the last year, and 34% did so more than once. Now, the other thing that this, if we can clap for that, if y'all want to clap for that, I think that's, this is something that we want to do. This is something that we want to be, is generous. For the most part, most people want to be generous. But this study also showed that there are some perceived really significant barriers. 56% of respondents said that they don't make enough money to donate. And also in this study, we begin to see that there are some very real barriers to people being able to give in the way that they want to give here in America. 71% of Americans reported that their debt keeps them from donating as much as they'd like to charity, okay? So it prevents them as much as they want to be generous, but 71% would say, I'm holding this debt and it's keeping me back. It's holding me back from what I really want to be able to do. So here's what we see, and you've experienced this in your own life. It's not just enough to want to be generous. That's where most of us are, but it requires a little bit more. Here's what we see. Generosity requires more than a different belief. It requires a different behavior. Last week, we talked about that different belief, that understanding that God gave first, that we give to God first and that we should give, that God gave to us first. But generosity requires more than a different belief. It requires a different behavior. It requires a different practice. Today, what I want us to talk about, what I want us to look at is how can we do things just a little bit differently? What is that practice? What is that behavior? Now, many times when we talk about this practice, what we're really talking about and what we refer to, maybe you've heard this before, is we're talking about stewardship. Stewardship is the wise management of money and resources that belong to someone else. Think about it like this. If generosity is the, as we're calling it, the adventure, then stewardship is the path on which we experience it. Okay, so generosity and stewardship, they're not the same. They're not synonymous. But what they are is they're two sides of the same coin. Or think about it like this. If generosity is the fun, then stewardship is the focus that gets us there. So generosity, it's not just enough to want to be generous. It's something that takes practice. It's something that takes some intentionality. It's going to take some focus. It's going to take some intentionality. And can I tell you today that there has never been anyone who was more focused or more intentional than Jesus himself. Jesus was all about his Father. I mean, just read scripture, read his teachings. He was all about his Father. He was always, in fact, many times if he wasn't teaching about his Father, you know what he was doing? He was withdrawing to some place so that he could talk to his Father. He was all about relationship with his Father. And many times when Jesus was teaching, what was he teaching about? He was teaching about his Father's kingdom. Jesus loved to talk about God's kingdom all the time. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. It was his favorite topic. But there was also some people that Jesus was surrounded by who, they talked a good game, okay? They talked the talk about God's kingdom. But the truth is, you see, Jesus knew their hearts. And the truth is, they were leveraging their financial resources not to build God's kingdom, but to build their own. To build their own kingdom, their own earthly kingdom. And Jesus knew their hearts. And I would imagine that that broke the heart of Jesus. But here's the thing about Jesus. He always loves people. Every turn of the page, we see him loving people so much that he is willing to tell them the truth. And he's willing to tell them the truth in love. So knowing their hearts, here's what Jesus taught. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." As many times Jesus brings up the subject, he did this many times when he was teaching, he brought up the subject of money and possessions. But what is he teaching them? He's teaching them that it matters how you handle your financial resources. It matters how you handle your money. And it is not because God needs your money, but he's telling them it's a matter of the heart. And the two always go hand in hand. So today, I want us to look a little closer at this practice of stewardship. I want us to look at three points that I think is going to help us understand this behavior that will take us beyond just wanting to be generous, but actually put us on the path to be there. And I got to tell you, the third point that we're going to talk about today, I'm probably more excited about that than I am anything. So hope you'll, if you're watching online, hope you'll stick around for that. The rest of you, you're here. Thanks for being here. Stewardship. Here's the first thing. Fundamentally, here's the first thing that we see. Stewardship flows out of an understanding that God owns everything. If you've been here for any time, you've probably heard us say something like, we have nothing to give God that he didn't first put in our hands. God owns everything. Psalm 24 teaches us this. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Now that pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? God owns everything. It's his. And so we want to understand that everything that we have, God owns. The psalmist in Psalm 50 goes on to say this. God is speaking these words. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. God owns everything. Now, I'm guessing that that's probably not new news to you. You go, I get this, I know this, God owns everything. But remember, we're wanting to go beyond just an intellectual belief about something to a behavior of that. So stewardship asks a different question. It doesn't just ask the question, do you believe that God owns everything? It takes it a step further and says, are you living your life in a way, does your behavior reflect that you believe God owns everything? And if this is feeling a little bit heavy-handed or a little bit restrictive, like, okay, so I don't have anything. Is everything that I have that I thought I owned, it's not really mine. God owns everything. If that's feeling restrictive, I want you to know, for me, this truth has really come to bring freedom. It's really freeing when you think about it. How much less stress would we have in our lives if we understood the truth that God owns everything. If we understood the truth that everything I am and all that I have belongs to God. Howard Dayton, I love his quote on this. He said, what we possess, God owns. I mean, isn't that just freeing, knowing that we don't carry the weight and the burden of ownership, that God does that for us. God owns everything. But not only that, the second thing that I want us to notice about stewardship, God owns everything, but God has entrusted us. Okay, so the God who owns everything has been so generous with everything to the point that he has entrusted us. Back in December, one of our members came to one of our staff members and put in his hands five bank envelopes with a substantial cash gift in each. And he went on to tell the staff member that he really sensed that God was placing it on his heart to minister to families in need, specifically families who had children, specifically families who had lost jobs, had lost wages. And he felt like this is a way that he could help. And however that might happen, well, only God could orchestrate this. This was so cool. Only God could orchestrate this so well. That same day, that was in the morning, that afternoon, guess what was happening right here on our campus? We were holding one of our fresh food distributions. Now, that had been planned months in advance. But what's the significance of that? Fresh food distribution, here's what that means. That means that that afternoon, we would have over 300 cars representing over 400 families right here in our parking lot, on our campus, representing over 400 families in need. And so here's what happened. the staff member took the envelopes and gave them to a trusted steward, one of our shepherds. And that afternoon, our trusted steward, one of our shepherds, got to go out throughout the parking lot on a spiritual adventure of radical generosity. Now, that sounds like a fun way to spend an afternoon, doesn't it? Here's the thing. You can spend your entire life like that. You see, because the owner, God, who owns everything, the owner provides the resources, and the steward manages the resources, but manages the resources for the purposes of the owner. So the owner has already established the mission. The owner has already established the purposes, but the steward gets to be included. The steward gets to be a part of what the owner is doing. Now I want you to imagine for a moment that the owner comes back to the steward and says, "How did it go? I gotta know. I mean, I'm just like waiting to hear, like, what happened?" I want you to imagine for just a moment if the steward said to the owner, "Well, let's think. I did hand out one of the envelopes. I remember that. And, you know, now that I think about it, I did get distracted that day. And now that I think about it, the other four envelopes are, they're floating around in my car right now. Or at least I think they are. I'm not really sure. Now, how about this? What if the steward came back to the owner and said, "Yeah, I handed out three of the envelopes, but I kept two for myself." Okay, what if the steward said this? "I gave out five of the envelopes, or at least I think I did. You know, my goodness, that day was such a blur. I'm not really good at math, and I mean, after all, who's counting? I'm not really sure. I mean, okay, let me ask you this. If you were the owner, would you give that steward any additional envelopes?" No. Why? Because trust had been broken. Why? Because mission not accomplished. Look at what Jesus taught. He said, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this, and they were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." Friends, one of the reasons why we call this radical generosity is because it is a radical departure from the way that the majority of the world stewards the resources that God has given them. Jesus is teaching them that no one, not you, not me, no one can serve both God and money. Okay, I'm gonna get in your business just a little bit here for just a moment. But one of the things that we see is the way that the world stewards, we are not going to be the generous people that we want to be if what we are doing is spending 115% of our income every year, and we're taking money and we're kind of shifting it around, and we're taking this and that to get the nicer home or to get the nicer car. You see, we're not going to be the generous people that we want to be if we're just doing things the way that the world is doing it. You know, I love the quote of Dave Ramsey. Maybe you've heard this before. He says, "We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like." Now, We don't do that because we have this thought that that's where we want to end up. It kind of goes back to the idea of flowing to a place that we don't intend to be. But if we just go with the flow of the world and we do things the way the world does it, we're going to flow into a place we didn't intend to be. And one of the places that we don't intend to be is a place where we just do what Dave's talking about. We spend money to impress people that we don't even like, and we wonder, how in the world did I get here? And it's not that we intended to be, but that's just sometimes where we end up. And Jesus is saying, we have a choice. You see, God has entrusted to us his resources. And it's not about the size of the gift, okay? We need to be really clear about that. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. He did not preach the Sermon on the Amount. So this is not about the size of the gift. This is a matter of the heart. You can see why we're calling this a spiritual adventure that God is inviting us into, because he has entrusted to us his resources. Now, I told you that I was most excited about the last point. And here's why I'm excited about it. I'm excited because my experience is that a lot of people understand that God owns everything, and a lot of people understand that God has entrusted these things to us. But I find in my experience that even Christians don't understand why we give. They think maybe it's just a spiritual exercise, or maybe it's just some obligation. It's just something we have to do, you know, should have to. But there is something deeper that God has put in place when it comes to our giving. God partners for relationship. Yes, stewardship is about God being the owner. It is about us as the managers or the stewards and being entrusted those resources. But God partners for relationship. Do you remember the five envelopes? You see, that steward had an opportunity to partner with the owner. That steward had an opportunity to go back to the owner and say, let me tell you about the lady who was struggling to feed her family. And when she received this gift, she just broke down into tears, just saying thank you. Let me tell you about another lady who had just lost her sister the week before, and she was wondering how she was going to cover all of these unexpected expenses. Let me tell you about another lady who was struggling with her health, and she had zero insurance. And she received the gift. She opened the envelope and she just broke down into tears, saying over and over, may the Lord repay you, may the Lord repay you, may the Lord repay you. What happens with the owner and the steward as they share these stories? Yes, that day people were blessed, but here's what else happened. People were blessed, but so was the relationship between the owner and the steward. Why? Because they had joined together in a shared mission. They had joined together in a spiritual adventure of radical generosity. The steward doesn't always understand. Well, let's say it this way. The steward does understand the mission. But what they don't always understand is where that mission is going to take them. They don't always understand to whom that mission may take them. That's why we're calling this a spiritual adventure, because there's so much that we enter into in faith with God. We just don't know. But here's what we do know. His mission is good. And his mission is not only good to those that it will bless. His mission is good to the steward who distributes the blessing, because relationship gets stronger. I want you just to imagine the delight. Imagine the delight of the steward who wakes up every day and says to God, God, what do you want me to do with your money today? Where are we going to go, God? Who are we going to see? Who are we going to meet? What needs might we encounter? Imagine the delight of the steward and the owner in that kind of mission on a daily basis. See, this is why we say we don't give to the church. We give through the church, because when you give through the church, we're able to feed people, yes, physically, but also spiritually. And when we do that, well, I ran into a pastor this past week and he said, you know what we call this? He said, we call this include me prayers. He said, we pray include me prayers. We just ask that God, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, whatever you're up to today, would you just include me? Would you? That would be enough for me, that you would just include me in whatever you're up to today. That would be enough. And when we give through, not to the church, what we're really doing, it is not a spiritual exercise. It is not some obligation. It is the answer to an include me prayer. God is not looking for our money. He is looking for a partner in his mission. He's asking, which kingdom are you going to build? Because we all have a choice. Are we going to build our own kingdom? That, by the way, is not going to last much longer. Or we can invest in what matters most. We can invest in God's kingdom, which, by the way, will last forever. It is eternal. We have the power to choose. We have the power to decide. Now, I know you may not have been handed five envelopes, but you have been handed financial resources that God has placed in your hand to take care of yourself, to take care of your family, but to also bless those around you. And I know you may not be headed into a parking lot, but you do take God's resources into places every day where you live, where you work, where you learn, where you play. And I know you may not have a generous donor, but here's what you do have. You have a generous Father who longs to celebrate with you partnership in mission, who longs to celebrate with you a strengthening of relationship. You have a generous Father who longs to meet with you to say, I love you, to say, well done, and to say, mission